For the last 2 weeks, we've been trying to run a missions video. If you weren't aware of it or you're here for the first time today, we're in the middle of a missions series. And so today we want to run a video. I was just about to miss it for the third week in a row, so focused on my sermon. And so why don't we run that video, and that will keep me quiet.
Through the School of World Missions, we desire to raise fruitful, cross-cultural missionaries who will preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Today, we are blessed to hear from our students about how God is radically transforming their nations.
I'm Lam from Vietnam. Vietnam is a communist country, and the government is really strict about religion.
I came from Cambodia. Cambodia is the Buddhist nation. Our people, we have strong belief in our God.
My name is Shika. I'm from Mongolia. Shamanism and animals influence in this society. Most of them worship the sky and mountain.
Buddhism, they not teach people to love because they just ask them to walk. They don't give any clear purpose for them.
In Cambodia, we are unloved. We don't care about the people.
Mongolian people, they can indifferent because of many issues, materialism, alcoholism.
My heart for my country is one day the gospel could go to every people in Vietnam.
The people in Cambodia need the gospel because the gospel is transform heart. We will become a love each other, help each other. Our nation will be changed.
I'm in School of World Mission because of God's grace. I learned a lot of from great teachers.
My pastor told me about this school, and I accepted to be equipped and empowered, and by learning more about the Bible, discipleship and leadership.
School of World Mission helped me more compassion to the lost people. God can change the people like me. He can change the people like them.
Our church is growing. We are making disciples.
The church in Vietnam is going really fast, and God is moving in the heart of the people there.
I am really excited to go back home to raise up more leaders.
God is changing our generation. Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is fruitful.
Shika, Lam, and Nick are just three of the 41 graduates of the School of World Missions who are now ready to go back. Declare the gospel to their nations. On behalf of every nation, World Missions, thank you for doing your part in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation.
Wonderful. We are part of a global family of churches. We're a missional movement. And I want you to know that we invest right into this. Every month we give $2,000 as a church. $1,000 goes to every nation international to oversee the missions and the church planting and the leadership, and the other $1,000 a month goes into the regional account for the South Pacific for church plants and for strengthening churches. And so we all, if you're a giver and a tither in this church, I want you to know a portion of your giving goes to world missions. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good to know? We don't just consume it on ourselves. We give a portion of it away to invest in missions. We are a missions movement. We're a missions church. The gospel, Te Rongopai. Last week we started a series called Te Rongopai. Can you say Te Rongopai? Te Rongopai. It means the gospel, and we had the privilege of having Jade Te Uri Karaka here, and she's going to be here next week. She talked about tikano, tikakono, the seed. In 1814, when Samuel Marsden and Ruatara brought the gospel here, modern secular media would like you to think that the gospel was imposed upon the Maori. That is historically incorrect and dishonest. It is Ruatara and four other men who were in New South Wales who invited Samuel Marsden to come to this land to bring Te Rongopai, the message of the gospel. We had something of a quick and a brief history lesson last week, and many of us, I know most of the church put their hand up, not just to say they learned something, but to realize they felt something in their heart. And every immigrant, I want you to know you're here for a reason, not just to get a better salary or a better future for your children. You're here, I believe, also to be used by God to reach people in this land. Not too many years ago, Pastor Jim LaFoon at Westlake Boys High School, he prophesied for half an hour. Was anybody in that meeting? And he prophesied. And he said, because the people of his nation, referring particularly to the Europeans, because they are lethargic and they don't move and they're asleep and they're in their slumber, he prophesied, I'm going to bring people from Asia. I'm going to bring people from the islands. I'm going to bring people from abroad to come and do the work that I've caused to work, because I will do my work. And he prophesied it. So I love the fact that God's bringing immigrants even to our church today. And if that's what it takes to awaken people that were born on this land, so be it. We gladly receive them. I say, welcome home. Come and help us share the gospel. At its peak, when the gospel, Tarangapai, came, there were incredibly brave Māori evangelists taking the message from village to village. And at its peak, as Jay told us last week, it's estimated 50, nearly 60% of the nation were in church on Sunday. And since that day to this, unfortunately, there has been a slow decline. That was last week. Te kakano, the seed. Today, part two, is te o te puawaitanga. Te puawaitanga, the blossoming. Blossoming means maturing, actually. Maturing and growing and thriving. But here's the idea. The seed was planted in the ground 1814, just really about 200 Christmas days ago. Not that long ago, we are one of, I think, possibly the most recent Western democracy that's been formed. And I'm very tempted to keep going back to our history, but I want to keep moving. But the seed was sown. And what happens to a seed, of course, is it gets watered and the seed begins to sprout. And a seedling comes up out of the ground and it becomes a plant and it grows and it gets wider. The girth, the trunk begins to get bigger and the branches begin to sprout out. It blossoms and it grows. And what I see in this land is like a mighty Māori, a kauri tree, right up the spine of the land with branches going out with little leaves fluttering and healthy and strong across this nation. You see, the seed of the gospel gets planted, then it's time for te puawaitanga. It begins to blossom, not just personally, as we receive the gospel and regeneration and a new nature and a new self begins to form, but in terms of the nation, it begins to transform communities. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 to 11, it says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. And this is Paul writing to the church. He says, you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Here we go. Key words right here. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. The seed is sowing. And the seed begins to come above the ground and a structure begins to emerge. And the branches begin to go out. How we do church is very important. You see, power without form is really hopeless. Form without power is lifeless. There are churches today with forms but no power. God's not even there. And there are churches today, all kinds of power. It's just weird. They try to eradicate all form and all kind of order in the church. And it gets just weird and spiritual and strange. Paul says, take heed how you do church. Take heed how you build. And let's be a wise master builder. And he goes on to say, for no other foundation has anyone laid than this which is laid, Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful how we do church. We have to be careful how we steward the gospel, because it's the church's responsibility to steward that gospel and sow that gospel. Man, there's all kinds of churches, isn't there? There's different ways to grow churches. There's different ways to kill churches. There's different ways to do churches. There are churches in the city that are so conservative and so, you know, quiet and reflective. And there are churches that are so loud and hyped up and noisy. There are churches that are culturally irrelevant yet biblically faithful. There are churches that are biblically unfaithful but culturally relevant. We've got cultural churches, black churches, white churches. We've got churches all over the place. Churches in their own buildings, churches in their schools. People that say they don't even want to go to church. Well, let me tell you what kind of church we are. And before I tell you what kind of church we are, let's start with what kind of church are we not. We are not a preacher-centered church. We do not revolve around a great man of God. We don't worship or idolize preachers. We're not a preacher-centered church. We're not an experience-centered church. We don't start following signs and wonders rather than following Jesus. We're not even a worship-centered church. When the experience of the presence becomes more important than the person who is present. We don't worship. I've been in a church. I was in a church one time in another nation. Something feels funny here. It's just like going on and on and on. And the worship leader's trying to whip up all kinds of emotions. And it was a church that had gone through a hard time, and a senior man had come in to sort it out, and I was standing right beside him, and he leaned over and he says, "Okay, Richard, they still worship. I'm turning it so they worship Jesus." Worshipping emotions, worshipping, getting their eyes off Jesus, just pursuing the presence. And I felt, great. I'm glad I'm with you, man, because something wasn't right. We're not a doctrine-centered church. Correct doctrine is essential. Let me repeat that so you don't misunderstand me. Correct doctrine is essential, but it should not replace the person of Christ. We're not a meeting-centered church, where the ultimate goal of meeting together is not to have a service, but to meet Jesus. The ultimate goal of meeting together is not to have just a service, but it's to meet with Jesus. We're not a fellowship-centered church. Our relationships with one another should never replace Jesus. Now, we want to be, we're none of these, but I hope we have the presence of God. I believe we do. I hope we have good doctrine. I hope we have great fellowship. I hope we enjoy meeting together. But ladies and gentlemen, they are none of those who are at the center of this church. Who is at the center of this church? It's Jesus Christ. He is the center of our church. Can you give me an amen? Amen. Jesus is the center of our church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He is above all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. He is the foundation of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the center of the church. It's all about Jesus. You won't find Jesus in every church that claims to be Christian today. Even he's not welcome. I'm sure if he rocked up in most churches and spoke to us like he spoke to his disciples, most of us would leave the building. It'd just be too hard. Jesus is at the center of our church. Not only is every nation Auckland Central, not only is every nation globally a Christ-centered church with the presence, with the doctrine, with the meetings, but it's Jesus at the center. Has everyone got me on that? Not only are we Christ-centered, but we also an apostolic church. An apostolic church. Apostolic, apostle, it means to send, to seek, and to reach other cities and nations. That's who we are. It's what we do. What happens when you put a lion in a cage at the Auckland Zoo? Do you know what happens when you keep a lion in the cage? It loses its aggressive roar because it's confined in the cage. It no longer has to hunt. It no longer looks for new territory. It just sits there and waits for the pastor to throw a few measly crumbs through the window, waits for someone to come along and just feed it. It lies there and gets fat, and it loses its roar. If we, the church, get content and confined in these four walls, we're going to lose our roar and a desire to go for new territories. I believe the lion of the tribe of Judah is in each and every one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah is in each and every one of us. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. We were born this way. We were born this way. Lady Goo Goo, Lady Gaga, what is she trying to go on, man? Just get to the moon. I mean, God bless her heart, but you know, I was born this way. When you were born again this way, when you gave your life to Jesus, you signed up to be a missionary, hallelujah. Oh, yes. When you signed up to give your life to Jesus, you became a lion. Oh, okay. It's true, but you guys, too many of you are pussies. Creep, creep, nudge, nudge, meow, meow. Oh, here comes the devil. Oh, here comes a little temptation. Oh, it's an unforeseen bill just come through. Oh, this person's dying over here, but I'm too afraid to share the gospel. Have we got any pussies in the room? We've got lions in the room, I'm not sure. But we should have the lion of the tribe of Judah inside of us. Praise the Lord. We were born to roar. The church was born to hunt. From the day Jesus landed on the planet, he's never stopped hunting for new territories. He's never stopped hunting for new souls. But too many of us Western Christians are quite happy to lie in the four walls of the cage and let some people just walk on by. Not us, not every nation, Auckland Central. We are a going people. We are a sending people. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? I want to tell you, Jesus had to go. Jesus told the church to go. In the Great Commission, otherwise known as the Apostolic Mandate, he says, go, therefore, into all the world. The New Testament church had to be reminded to go. Even back then, with persecution, they were so kind of had a propensity to get comfortable, just like us today. And God had to bring persecution to bust them open and say, get out of Jerusalem. Get into Samaria. Go to the outermost parts of the earth. You study church history. Whenever the church gets comfortable, look at Europe. If you know the current situation in Europe, it's historically the hotbed origin of mission and vitality and spiritual renewal. But today, churches are now pubs and nightclubs, strip bars. Empty. As people lost their way. Jesus had to go. The New Testament had to go. The early church had to be reminded to go because going is what we do. Can you say that after me? Going is what we do. Christians are a going people. For our land, New Zealand, Aotearoa, Reverend Samuel Marsden had to go to Australia first. And the Holy Spirit commissioned Rutara to go to Sydney with four others. And there they met. And there they found the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit said, go back to this land called Aotearoa. And Samuel Marsden came. The Māori evangelists were going all the way, going, 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 because going is what we do. This might be one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know what is it? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is the church. Can you picture? The gates don't move. Gates are a stationary object. They are got foundations in the ground. Hell itself has got gates. The church is on the move. It's like a massive battering ram. Boom! Boom! Trying to bust through the wall. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the moving, the going, the persistent ramming of the church. Sounds like a lion out of a cage. Because your family and your friends, they're on the other side. Much of this nation, the nations of the world, are on the other side. And I will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have an authority. We have a call and a commission to go, ladies and gentlemen. Can I just say that every nation, Auckland Central, exists today because precious people said, yes, I will go. Can I just ask this morning, who here has either gotten saved or recommitted their life or have come under lordship under this church? Gotten saved with every nation, Auckland, going back to when the families came from the States, gotten saved or recommitted their life, or actually discovered actually what discipleship really is. Can I get you to put your hand up nice and high across this place? Fantastic. And from this church, every nation Melbourne was planted. That's right, Karina. Karina got saved when that church was planted. A group of people from this church, some brave souls, said, yes, I will go. Every nation Southside required people to go. Then we've got Brisbane. And now just recently we've got Sydney. In the last 16 years, every nation Auckland has a history of planting churches. All through the last 16 years, we've been going and going and going because it's what we do. It's what we do. So if you've come today for the first time, you've come at a great day, because this is what we do. This is what we do. There's three reasons why we plant churches. It's not because we're bored. It's not because we've got no money. In fact, our vision always outstrips our resources. I'm praying and believing for things that I don't know how it's going to happen. And frankly, I don't care. Maybe I've gone nuts, maybe I'm in denial, but I'm really enjoying the trip, man. It's awesome. There's three reasons why we plant churches. Number one, we need to reach new people and cultures. We must. We need to plant churches in New Zealand and beyond. We can assist and help with those, but our primary vision is to plant churches in our land, North Island and South Island, in all the cities. Interesting fact, I think it was 2000, oh gosh, I'm going to get my numbers wrong now, the year. Interesting study how people are migrating to the cities away from the rural centres. When was it? I can't remember. It was 8% and now it's 50%. I won't try to quote it for fear I'll have it wrong, but it's an interesting study, the urbanisation of people, but there's a reason we go to cities, particularly where there's a university. We're not bored. We haven't got enough money. But God wants us to plant churches. The first reason is we can reach new people and cultures. Simply for this reason. Lives are at stake. Communities are at stake. Who was it that said, evil pervades because good men do nothing? Can we really stand by and see this nation go to hell in a handbasket? No, we can't. The second reason why we plant churches is to empower new leaders. Leadership emerges when there's room to grow. I don't want to be the senior pastor forever. I'm going to be championing other people on, still on the front row, still worshiping Jesus. But I want to create opportunities for leadership. We had, 11 sessions yesterday? I only spoke at 2. We had Miguel Erazo, praise the Lord, first student to take a session. We had new leaders popping up, doing a much better job than I ever could dream of doing. We want to plant churches so we can see leaders grow, praise the Lord. New children's church workers, worship leaders, connect group leaders, ushers, preachers, singers. We want to continually develop leaders. That's why we're doing ENLI, is it not, Dan? That sucker costs money. But we've got to have a vehicle and a mechanism to raise leaders so we can both sprout them up in this house, but also send them into other church plants around the country. In some cases, maybe even internationally. Right now, our senior pastor in Brisbane is from this church. Our senior pastor in Fiji is from this church. Our senior pastor in Southside, from this church. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be big to create change. Did you know that? Jesus had 12 men. Reach new people. Empower new leaders. And thirdly, to plant seeds of social transformation. New church plants create opportunities and creative ideas to serve the needs of the community and cities and see them transformed by the gospel. This is pretty sobering. If you've heard of George Barna, he's well known for statistics and trends and so forth. And he says this in his book is actually his journal about the state of the church. He says there are far more churches in schools, post offices, and McDonald's restaurants. Do they still call those things restaurants? There are far more churches in schools, post offices, and McDonald's restaurants, and yet the church has less impact on our culture than any of these less prolific entities, despite a mission that are far less significant or compelling. Can you just think about that? McDonald's has more influence on our culture than we do, and all they're pushing is fast food. Now, Peter Wagner, right across the body of Christ, people, leaders know about Peter Wagner. He's an incredible author. No one has studied the dynamics of church growth globally. No one has studied the techniques of movements and how to do things more than Dr. Peter Wagner. And he boils everything down to this. He says this, he cuts to the chase and he says, the most effective form of evangelism is planting a church. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time to roar again. It's time to get on the hunt again. God has got new territories for us. It's time to go again, because going is what we do. Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? We are a going people. And today really is an historic day. Every Nation, Auckland Central has not even been alive for 3 years. Our heritage goes back right back to the original founders of the church when it was based on the North Shore. for which I'm incredibly proud of and glad to be a part of. And Pastor Ken Du brought that. He's an apostolic man. He sends and he releases. It's my joy to continue in that tradition and continue with that call. And we needed to take a couple of years locally here to sort out how best to blossom more, how best to bear more fruit. I can remind us, you know what, just a few years ago, when we decided to be two separate churches, it was not because of any relational disunity at all. Not on the surface and not underneath, at all. The overarching objective was to produce more fruit, to raise more leaders. And sometimes you've got to have a perceived step back to take a big step forward. And I'm glad we did. Here on our third year, not yet three, on our third year, having got ourselves established and got our leadership, every year since we have been in existence, this church has grown. And I'm so grateful to God. Over the last 12 months, there has been a project, there has been a leading of the Holy Spirit to plant a church. And today I want to announce to you that we're planting a church every nation. Tauranga commences on the 2nd of October. Thank you, Jesus. We have had a Macedonian call, if you know Acts 16. You know, and if you know me, you know, I like to have a plan, and, you know, I stick to the plan, and it can be a little bit of a control freak, and I felt like we were going to Hamilton. We talked about Hamilton, didn't we? We had a meeting, and we're going to go to Hamilton. Don't mistake it, but it's kind of like, we even had a hui down there. We had a meeting, didn't we? We talked, we met some people, but it was just like a slowdown and a lack of momentum, and it wasn't lack of desire. Just you go ahead if you like, Lisa, wherever you are. Kind of sends me a message to draw it to a bit of a close. But it's almost like we got to the Bombay Hills and the Holy Ghost said, hang a left. It wasn't quite like that, but there was a slowdown of momentum with Hamilton. And during that period of time, we had some new people relocate to Tauranga. We had a situation down there in Tauranga where people that every nation to the very core. We're serving and helping another church. And we talked with Pastor June and Michaels over a year now. We've been working through. Now we have three families living down there. Actually, including the George family. People know the George family, right? Trying to settle in another church. And hey, we're not the only show. And we don't for one moment think we're it. We're just one of many good churches. But they said, Pastor Richard, it just doesn't feel like family. Don't hear lordship like we need to hear. Don't do discipleship. And they were saying, can we do something? And that was probably more coming out of their own need. And we were just not even a year old, I think, at the time of the church. And we were trying to do discipleship, you know, and just keep blessing them. And next thing you know, these guys are going down, Fire Ray and Dino and Darwin and Bernadette, things untangling. And then even me, who can be a little bit thick in the head. Whoa. Spirit, what are you doing? Adrian Kaplang's gone down there. And so we had a meeting a while ago. We decided, we believed, and the eldership believe, that the Holy Spirit wants us to plant a church in Tauranga. This is our first plant. We are very open to having people and receiving people from Southside and anywhere else in the region, but we are heading this plant. It's not a separate church. It's not a multi. It's a daughter church. So it comes under the eldership and the leadership. I'm the senior pastor of it. Our eldership cover it. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit does. But ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to get busy making disciples. So here's what's going to happen. I love it, man. We're going to have outreach cell groups during the week, and we're going to have house church on Sunday. Remember house church? We thought we were just doing that because Ags was unavailable. Little did I realize it was actually breaking down a mindset in me, probably more than anybody, that what church looks like. So we're going to have house church down there. And there's the address. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of this. How can you be a part of this? What can you do? Firstly, I want to ask you to pray. We have a prayer meeting, 9:30 every Sunday downstairs. We pray, it's not about this meeting, it's about our mission, it's about our ministries, covering our church family. This is our corporate prayer meeting every week, 9:30. Please come and pray for our church planting efforts. Secondly, to give. I'm not going to ask you to give to a separate account for mission. Simply this, to be faithful with your tithes. If this is your church family, please tithe. Please give. If everybody tithed, we'd have everything that we need for our mission. And just to encourage you, and just, there are some golden people in this place that just so want their lives to count. You know, a couple came to us and said, we want to give $40,000 for church planting. Not to be used in general tithe, over and above our tithe. We want to give a substantial amount so we've got what we need to do what we need to do. Because people matter. Isn't that beautiful? To pray and to give, but thirdly, to invite. I want you all to know, 2nd of October, we're starting House Church, we're starting Connect. If you know people down there, or you have friends that are relocating to Tauranga, praise the Lord, we can scoop them up. They can enjoy this. The same DNA, the same spirit. Some of us are going to be traveling backwards and forwards. Maybe you're going to be traveling backwards and forwards. The fourth way you can be involved is to go. I hear houses are a bit cheaper down there. I think some people are going to go permanently. Some people might want to go temporarily. I want to send down a team to people to evangelize in the streets there, to evangelize, take worship, do clinics on worship and teach them down there. We're going to send our leaders, lay people, young people, to invest in that plant, to invest in that seedling, to water that seed, so we can see a great, mighty, growing church in the Bay of Plenty. And I believe not far away, we'll be in Hamilton as well. I can see a triangle reaching everybody in between. Who is excited about that? Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. We're going. Tell your neighbor, we're going. We're going. Why are we going? Those three words, we're going because it's what we do. Going is, tell the other person beside you, going is, it's what we do. It's what Christians do. I beg you, ladies and gentlemen, to hear me. When Jesus birthed the church, he never intended for people to gather in a building and sing a few songs and listen to a little message and criticize it all and do nothing. It was all about mission. He never expected this to happen. When people jump from church to church, just taking what they want and don't give a rip about lost people. That is not church. It's a perverted Western modern interpretation of some religious idea. Jesus paid the price and he came. It was always about outside this meeting. Don't call this the service. This is a celebration. The service begins when we leave these walls. We should put a door up there, Alpha, a sign up there, Alpha. Everybody leaves that door. Celebration is over. The service begins. That's what Jesus died for.